Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 14. I was thrilled to sing these songs this morning because it's about heaven. I'm going there. Amen. Amen. And I hope you are as well. Luke chapter 14. I want to begin in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray together, may we? Our Heavenly Father, please speak to us by the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the songs that have paved the way to a message on heaven. Oh God, I pray that you would bring someone today to the cross of Christ for salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are saved to be on fire for you, to proclaim the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. Speak to us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he tacks on, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm so thankful that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. In our text, I want you to notice the great supper in verse 16. He tells the story of a certain man that made a great supper. The great supper, I believe, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's us, hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Can you picture this? Can you picture a table that stretches from sky to sky? You can't see the end of it. A marriage supper. Oh, I believe it's going to be elegant. Can you imagine the beautiful tablecloths and the china and the crystal? But most of all, the presence of the bride, groom, the Lord Jesus. To think that he would be there to fellowship with us and to gird himself and serve us. What a thrill it's going to be. to be able to be together. I found out that they're going to have Italian food in heaven. Cornelius got saved. Amen. Cornelius of the Italian band. Amen. But it's going to be wonderful. Can you imagine the thrill and the joy and the awe that we're going to experience of being with those that have gone on before us? People that have claimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some that have led many to Christ are going to be there. Some that we love, like my mother's already there. My father just went this last year. Oh, I can't wait to see them again. And that's one of the beautiful things about heaven. It's going to be a place where we're going to be united with those that have gone on before us, and we're never going to be separated from them ever again. Forever and ever, we will be together. What an exciting time that's going to be. It's not only going to be expressive, but it's going to be expansive. Every nation, every language, every tongue, and every people are going to be there. People from all over this world that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There'll be no prejudice in heaven, amen? The rich and the poor will be together. The smart and those that weren't so smart will be together. The athletic and the crippled, who once were crippled, who will no longer be crippled, they'll have a new body. Boy, you talk about a wonderful place it's going to be. It's not only expansive, but it's going to be exclusive. In the book of John, chapter 14, the Bible says, and Jesus is speaking here, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Boy, that's a question. How can we know the way to get to heaven? And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Folks, that's exclusive. Oh my. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 4. I was reading this morning, and I came across the impotent man is healed, and the religious leaders, Caiaphas and Alexander and John and some of the high priests, are gathered together in verse 7 of chapter 4 in Acts. "And when they had sent them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified,'" I love this next phrase, "'whom God raised from the dead, even by him hath this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner.'" And then these amazing words. He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." You must be saved. A religious leader came to Jesus, Nicodemus. You remember the story. He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a great teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And you know, Jesus could care less about the compliment, and it was a compliment. Jesus came right to the issue at hand. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus couldn't understand it. He said, "What do you mean? Is he born in his mother's womb again? The second time?" And Jesus explained it to him. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's your first birth. "But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Jesus is the only one. It's exclusive. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question. Is your name written there in the Lamb's book of life? I want to also say that the great supper is going to be very exciting. I really look forward to being done with this world. You know, we're in this world, but we're not to be a part of it. We've really been saved from this world unto God. And we are to be making a difference in helping others to come to Christ as well. You see, if we really believe that there's a heaven that we can gain and that there's a hell that we must shun, why don't we tell everybody about it? We see the great supper. Secondly, I want you to notice we see the going servants. The going servants. In this passage of scripture, we find the Lord speaking to his servants. In verse 17, verse 21, and verse 23, we find that he makes an appeal to his servants to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring these people in for this great supper. You remember that Jesus chose 12 to be his disciples. Later, he chose the 70, and then he chose the 120, and from that came 3,000 and 5,000. And you know, God's plan works. It's a plan that doesn't need to be improved on. It just needs to be obeyed. And he said, the servant said, it's been done as thou hast commanded. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, when a servant says it's been done as thou hast commanded, there's an excitement in the heart of the servant. Because he knows that he's fulfilling the purpose and the reason for his existence. You're here that you might bring a world to Christ. We're to redeem the times because the days are evil. We're to go into the streets and the lanes of the city. We're to find people that need the Lord Jesus. I like what Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Where are the going servants? You know, I have an aunt. Her name was Eleanor Acker, my mother's sister. She was a single missionary to the hollers of eastern Kentucky for 50 years. Now, no man could ever tame this woman, I'm telling you. And she was after souls. I mean, at one point she was in 29 different public schools doing release time classes to bring children to the saving knowledge of Christ. She not only won thousands of children to Christ, but then she'd go into the homes of the children and win the parents. She started 3 churches. Now, she never preached, but she started Toller Creek Baptist Church, Prater Creek Baptist Church, and Grethel Baptist Church. And she never preached. She got a preacher to come in. But she started these churches with the people that she had won to Christ. Man, I'm telling you, what could happen if the souls that are saved would share with the souls that aren't saved? What could happen? I believe God's plan has been established. It doesn't need improvement. It's a plan that could reach this world in a generation. In one generation. We've got a lot of people that are pretty silent. And here we find these servants were not indifferent to the command that was given to them. Their response was immediate. You'll notice he not only sent them out once, he sent them out twice, then he sent them out again. And they didn't complain at any sending. They were just willing to go, willing to share the gospel of Christ. You know, they came across some people, though, that were pretty uninterested. You know, if we could get over the fact that about the people that are uninterested, we could do a great work for God. But it's the uninterested people that keep us from going. But there's people that are uninterested, and we must understand this. You'll notice we find three groups of people here. I won't belabor it long, but there was the materialistic person. He said, I want you to know I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. He made an excuse. You know, there are people that are materialistic. They're too busy laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. The materialist can't take it with them. They're going to leave it probably to someone they can't stand. Somebody else is going to spend their wealth. What a sad thing it is when a person is more interested in material things than they're more interested in the things of God. The second group was the workaholic. In verse 19, we find a man, he said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Have me excused. Some people are too busy. They're too busy working. They're too busy laboring. How many people have you invited to church and they said, oh, I got to work? And then you say, well, do you work on Sunday morning? Yeah. Sunday night? Yeah. Wednesday night? Yeah. Well, you need to find a time when they're not working and prepare something, amen? And reach out to them and say, you know what? There may come a day when you won't be able to work. What are you going to do then? Who gives you the breath? Who gives you the wherewithal? Who gives you the intellect? Who makes it possible for you to exist? Don't forget your Creator, the one that has given you all things. And then you've got the people pleasers. Now, I don't know. This situation is a bit interesting. He said, I've married a wife. And he said, I cannot come. Now, I think he was being gracious. He could have maybe said, she won't let me come. You think that's a possibility? You know, sometimes a spouse will keep you out of church or keep you away from the Lord. At any rate, here's a man that has gotten married. He's more of a people pleaser than he is one that is more concerned about what God thinks. Did you know it doesn't matter what we think? And it really doesn't matter what people think about us. What matters is what God thinks. You know, if you please God, you'll be at peace with your enemies, the Bible says. Isn't that something? We're supposed to be at peace with God, and we're to walk with God, and we're to care what the Lord thinks about what we're doing. Here's a person that was interested in pleasing people. No, I want to say to you that your eternal destiny does not hinge upon what other people think. It hinges upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Oh, man. We need to be going servants, don't we? We need to go with the gospel. Share the message of Jesus Christ. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon pastored the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. You know what he did? He told his people in the church, he said, now here's what I want you to do. Take my Sunday morning message and share it with somebody before Sunday night. Take my Sunday night message and share it with someone before Wednesday. Take my Wednesday night message and share it with someone before Sunday. Now, that's called multiplication of a message. That is, I share this message with you. Now, they say that only 3% of the message is heeded. That's why we have to preach so long, amen? I'm just kidding. But if only 3% is adhered to, then 97% of it is just words. They're gone. They're forever gone. But if you take the message and you share it with somebody before the week is out, you're multiplying the preaching of God's word. And people will listen to what you have to say. You can share a message in 3 or 4 minutes. Just give the main points. The great supper. The going servants. And they'll say, you know, man, something's interesting happened over there at Worth Baptist Church. Man, I like that message. And before you know it, people started coming. The Metropolitan Tabernacle was filled with people that were hungry. And in order for them to get hungry, we've got to get hungry. We've got to get hungry for souls. for which Jesus died. We must be going servants. Then number three, there's a grievous surprise coming. We've got the great supper. We've got the going servants, but there's a grievous surprise that's coming. It's found there in verse 24. If you go back to Luke chapter 14, verse 24, he said, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." What he's saying is that those that were bidden that rejected the message, they're not going to get to come to supper. Do you know anybody right now that's rejected the bidding of the Spirit of God? I know people like that. But I'm not going to worry about the people that reject it. I'm going to be looking for the people that are going to receive it. They say if you invite 10 people to church, you'll probably get at least one to come. So just invite 100 and you'll have 10. Amen. Doesn't that work? See, the thing is, we've got to put some labor into it. What Christ did for us in a moment when he gave his life on Calvary, we spend the rest of our life showing how much we love the Lord by proclaiming the message of Christ. Why? Because judgment day's coming. It's either heaven or hell. Once a man dies, he goes out into eternity, either to hell or he goes to glory. And every person you meet is either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And it ought to get a hold of us. It ought to bring compassion to our lives. The Bible says, and of some have compassion, making the difference. Oh, listen. You bring someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to get excited about it. And they're going to want somebody else to experience what they've experienced. How come after we're saved a while, we get out of practice in proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ? Is it a grievous surprise to those that are lost? It will be. In fact, the Bible says there's going to be some that are going to say, "Haven't we done many wonderful works in thy name?" And he's going to say, "I never knew you." But to those that are saved, that have proclaimed the message of Christ, he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's all we should want to be, is a good and faithful servant. Maybe this morning some of you would say, "You know, Brother Knickerbocker, I don't remember ever trusting Christ as my Savior. I mean, if I died right now, I'm not even sure that I'd go to heaven." You know, I was like that once. We had an evangelist come to our church and he preached a hot message on hell. I'll never forget it. When the invitation was given, I came forward and I knelt down at the altar, but nobody came and said to me, "Danny, why did you come to the altar?" I got up from my knees thinking because I came forward, I was saved. It wasn't until I was 14 years old that my father pointed his finger in my face one day. I'd done something that upset him, I know that. And he put his finger in my face and he said, "Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. You have no evidence to prove to me that you're saved." And I'll tell you what, I thought about that for a moment. I thought, I don't see any evidence either. And I got saved at 14 years old. And I grew up in a preacher's home. I don't know where you've been. I don't know whether you've ever heard the gospel before today. Maybe you've heard it hundreds of times. Most people hear the gospel many times before they get saved. But I got saved. Later on that day, I said to my dad, "Hey, Dad, guess what I did today?" He said, "What, son?" I said, "I got saved." I thought he'd be all excited, take me out for McDonald's. He looked at me and he said, "We'll see." What was he saying? Now, if you're a parent, you understand that. He was saying, I'd like to see some evidence. Anybody can say they're a Christian, but let's see the evidence. Let's see the proof. And I want to tell you, I thank the Lord Jesus saved my soul. You may have grown up in a church. Maybe you even made a profession of faith, but something's not right. You know it's not. You're not ready. Oh, please come. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. We're going to have a song. And as the pianist plays and we may sing, you slip out of your seat and come. And we'll have workers here at the front. Just come up and say to them, I need to make sure. I want to make sure I'm saved. Or if you've never been saved and you know you're not saved, come and say, I want to get saved today. I don't want to go to hell for nobody. I'm not going to be a people pleaser. I'm going to please the Lord and Him alone. You come and accept Christ. Some of you need to come as going servants. Come and say, Lord, I've had so many opportunities to proclaim your name and I've been totally silent. Please forgive me, Lord. And leave from this place today as a going servant, because you realize there's a grievous surprise coming to people one day. And you don't want them to go to hell. And you're going to do everything you can to keep them out of hell. Amen? Oh, I pray that God will move in this invitation. Let's stand with our heads bowed for a moment.